everybody. Welcome to the Frank Ops Show, the worst name for a podcast ever. I'm FGOGR, Francisco, whatever you want to call me, and I've got another review for you. This time, I'm reviewing Fire and Ice for the Nintendo Entertainment System. It was also known as Solomon's Key 2. In Europe and Japan, the North American name was Fire and Ice. Don't know why they changed it, not even sure, but is what it is. And yes, this little game, this very, very good video game, I will say this already to all of you, I thoroughly enjoyed this game. It was released way back in 1993 in North America, as well as Europe, 92 in Japan, and well, let's get into this, all right? So, this is a prequel, really. So, it is called Solomon's Key 2 in other regions, but it is, in fact, a prequel rather than a sequel. So, we are utilizing the main character from Solomon's Key, the wizard named Dana, and going through another action puzzler. And, well, this one is... because it was released at the end of the NES life cycle, it is definitely much more technologically, graphically, orally, or audibly better than Solomon's Key, which was like an early era NES game. So we're getting the two dynamics, the two ends of the NES right there. And, well, I'm reviewing this game first because I thoroughly enjoyed this one more than Solomon's Key. I will review Solomon's Key. In fact, did I review Solomon's Key already? I might have. I might have already done so. But I will take a look right now. No, I didn't review Solomon's Key. I would have known. I would have known if I reviewed Solomon's Key because I didn't. I didn't. I reviewed other NES games, and that's for sure. But not Solomon's Key. Not yet, at least. Well, we're on the second one, and I'm taking a bit now to get into this review. Anyways, so Solomon's Key 2, you've got the plot here, which is you're Dana the Wizard. You are coming into your own as a wizard in this one. And it's the way they presented this game, because they were able to present a story in this game, is that there's an old woman, she's got her grandkids there, she's telling them a bedtime story late at night, and she's telling the story of Dana saving an island. It's called Coolment Island. It's made of ice, so there's the ice part of Fire and Ice's title, and it's home to the Winter Fairies, and then the evil wizard Druidle. He sends a bunch of monsters, and they're all made of flames. And there's the fire part of the game. Fire and ice. And they attack the island, melt the island. The Queen of the Fairies summons Dana to go and try and save the island, save the fairies. And she grants him the use of magic. So this is the first time he's using magic. He used magic in his first game. But in this one, he's given the ability to conjure ice, much like the kind of sort of like the ice rod in The Legend of Zelda. So, yeah, so you can summon blocks of ice in front of you and create platforms and not really projectiles, but sort of projectiles, but giant ice blocks that you can push around and things like that. So that's what Dana is using to destroy these flame monsters here. And so it's an action puzzler, so the stage is laid out to you in one screen, and you'll have the different platforms there, you'll see the monsters, and you kind of have to figure out your way of utilizing your ice to destroy the monster. And there's actually 100 levels in the main storyline, and by inputting a cheat code, you can get 50 more levels if you want to play a little more. And those 50 levels that you want to play, those extra ones, once again, optional, and you can play them whenever you want just by inputting the code. which is you hold select, you press B a ton of times, and eventually you'll get to the sound test and the extra levels. So there you go. And the beauty of playing this game is they allow you to try and beat the game at your own pace. So it has when you start out, because the storyline is not really much there. Really, the framework of the old lady is at the beginning, when after the title screen you press start, and then you can choose to do a new game. You can continue an old game, in which on the original NES version you have to, it's a password save, so you have to write down a code, write down the password, and if you want to return to your game later, you input the password and you can keep on going. But I played this version, which was the Nintendo Switch version. It was re-released on the NES Online service this year in 2021. And so that's the version that I played, of course, with all the bells and whistles of save states and the rewind feature, which is always a huge help for people who are trying to get into these classic games, but they don't want to deal with some of the higher difficulties or difficult gameplay that can come of them sometimes. But in this one, it's not really that. It's because it's an action puzzle game, you're more rewinding to go back on a mistake that you made and try and utilize there. And I guess another extra thing before I get into the main gameplay is that this game does have a create a level mode, which is really interesting. Unfortunately, there's no way of sharing these levels, especially with the Nintendo Switch Online. That would have been pretty cool. Well, you kind of sort of can, because in Nintendo Switch Online you can play multiplayer with other people. So I guess you and a friend, or maybe a group of people, I don't know if there's a Fire and Ice Facebook group or Discord page, maybe. Or maybe that will be an idea that somebody thinks of when they hear this review. But that's probably the only way for you to connect and play other people's levels, whoever's hosting is like, yeah, let's try out my levels that I've created. That's really the only way, but there's no other way to share them online aside from that, unfortunately. Well, so that's a bit of an extra thing, whereas the main game, once again, laid out in front of you, one screen, figure out a way to destroy all the flame monsters. Once you destroy all the flame monsters, you beat the level and you move on to the next one. There's a timer on the bottom, but it's not a countdown timer. It's more just counting down how long you take to beat the level. So it's a definite challenge if you want to speed run the game and try and beat your own times. And the other thing is, and one of the good things about this game, especially an NES game, is that there are no continues or lives in this. Thus, there's no real penalty of losing, and you don't have to start the game all over again. You can just keep trying again. All right, I died. Let me try this again. Died, I tried it again. Died, tried it. So you can keep trying the same level over and over again, and that's one good thing. Also, there are points in the game where you might get stuck. You might accidentally box yourself in with some of your ice, along with some of the walls and ledges, so you probably might have to start over. So you press pause, you hit try again, and you keep on going. Or maybe a level's just too darn hard, you can hit try and you just quit the level and try a different level. And that's one of the that's a plus here. There's a huge plus here. So the game is laid out before you get into a level. The overworld is presented to you, and there are 9 different worlds to start with. 9 different worlds to start with, much like Super Mario World. Much like Super Mario World, where you have the different sections of Dinosaur Island, Yoshi's Island, and then once you get to a certain point, then Bowser's Castle comes out and you can face the final boss. And it's the same thing here. Now remember, this game was released after Super Mario World, so there's probably some influence there. But of course, video games do this all the time, where you beat the first few worlds, and then you finally get to the final boss, and there's an extra some odd levels to get to them. Mega Man did it with Wily's Castle, things like that. So here, there are 100 levels, thus there are 10 worlds, but you will start out with 9. And those first 9, you can play every single one of them, except for the last one, because each world has a castle or a boss level, a boss battle, which is probably the only time where the game is slightly different, but I will explain that soon enough. So you will be able to play the first 9 levels of each world, and you can tackle them at any way, shape, or form. Hey, I'm stuck in world 4 or 5. Okay, I'm gonna go to world 5 and tackle level 3 in that world. So because maybe that one you can figure out a lot better, and that's really good. It allows you to play the game the way you want to play it, and you don't have to follow it in a linear path. I did, because I took advantage of the I would say up until world 5 is when things get tough, like super tough, where it really makes you think about the physics and level design of the game in order for you to beat these levels. Because when you're playing with Dana and you're setting up your ice blocks to try and defeat these flames, there are different ways to do so. Some of them you can create there's a ledge, and it's like, okay, you want to extend the ledge, put a block of ice in front of you, or in front of your feet, really, and it will extend that ledge. And the ice in this game doesn't make you slip. Dana walks block by block, essentially, in this game, so you can control Dana pretty well. If he comes up against a ledge and there's only one block ahead and it's kind of like a stairway in a way, he will climb up to that ledge and go to the next level. But he can only climb up one block. He can't climb up two. So Dana's pretty flexible. So he can pop up one, pop up the other one. And you know, also, if there's like a tunnel or something like that where there's blocks above you, blocks below you, Dana won't get crushed. He can kind of crawl his way through at the same pace that he runs. So there's that. And yeah, there are ledges in this game, and you can extend the ledges. You can have the blocks of ice hang on, basically freeze on to the ledges. Now, of course, that hinders some flexibility there, because you're trying to make the blocks of ice. Now, you can take off certain parts of the ice, and it'll be a single block that will drop down. And that block, you can do different things with it. You can drop them on top of an enemy that's below you and kill them that way. You can have it drop down onto a different platform below you, and then you can use that and push the block to either create a stairway for you where there was not before, or you can slide it and put it to fill a hole where you could not walk before, and now you can walk there, or because there might be spikes on the bottom, or because there are different hazards in some of the stages, and I'll get to this hazard soon enough. But or you can have the block in front, you can go down to that other ledge, have that block in front of you, and push it into an enemy. So those are really the two ways of killing enemies, is to push a block into them or have a block fall on top of them. And the only blocks that you could push are singular blocks. You can make blocks that are bigger than that, but you will not be able to push them. But some of the levels allow you to make those big blocks, those big long blocks, to defeat enemies in a certain way, and it gets really clever because one part of the block destroys one enemy, and sometimes that creates some very interesting puzzles that really makes you think as to, okay, which enemy am I going to destroy, and how are the lineup of ice that I'm creating, how is that going to fall down and possibly create a path for me to walk through, or things like that. There are so many different things that they've added in each level that really, really makes you think. And I'm telling you, once you get to around World 5, you'll start to see levels where it's like, man, I am sitting there for like 5-10 minutes trying to figure it out. And it's like, oh man, I either have to go on YouTube and find a walkthrough that'll help me through it. And I did. I will tell you this, I did. Some of these puzzles were super difficult. And some of them I had to just figure out like a little part of the stage. Like, okay, I figured that part out, I can figure out the rest. While others were like, I don't know what's going on here. I have to watch the whole thing through. There aren't many video walkthroughs of Fire and Ice on YouTube. And even those people that played the game that I was watching were had to restart the levels and try and figure it out. So it's definitely going to really make you think as to just how to defeat some of these levels. And there's something really satisfying in especially the really difficult levels. Once you get to like level 9 and things like that, and you're figuring out a way, and it's like once you if you do it, especially on your own, there's a real sense of accomplishment from solving these. And because, especially on the Switch, you can rewind. Because you can do that, it allows for you to do a lot of experimentation. On the NES version, I could see where we're starting over once, twice, three times could get frustrating. But at the very least, they give you the option without any penalties of losing lives or continues. You just don't in this game. You just have to redo the things that you're doing to the point where, okay, now I did all this, now I'm at the part where I screwed up, let's see how I can do things differently. And I would say this is a good game to play with other people in the room, because two heads are better than one, and other people may want to try out, like, okay, let's try this, or they might see something that you don't, and it's like, oh, do that block, and they might fall down, and might do this, it'll allow you to get to this enemy, or you can create a platform to move on to the next part. So I would recommend that. I would recommend if you could, if you do have somebody that you can play this with, play with somebody, because this is a pretty good two-player game. It might be a good date night game, really. Two people sitting down next to each other and solving some puzzles. So I would say, yeah, that's pretty. So you can kind of turn this single-player game into a multiplayer game in that sense. It is a single-player game, not a multiplayer game at all. And once, so those are the normal levels, but once you defeat 9 levels in a single world, they will allow you to face off against the boss of that world. And there's different bosses, but the levels are the same. You're not fighting an actual creature, you're just trying to beat a level that they've set up for you to lose in. And the level is, so this time it's not single screen, well, semi-single screen. It is a scrolling screen, vertically scrolling screen. So there are flames, and you have to defeat all the flames, but you have to make sure that you don't fall below the bottom of the screen, or else you die and you lose the level. That is the challenge there, because the screen, after a few, I would say, maybe like 10 seconds, the screen will scroll up, and then you have to keep moving yourself up to avoid dying at the bottom of the screen. But at the same time, the screen also repeat or you rotate. So the level is only a set size. So you will be revisiting an area that was scrolled up, and it will have, like, if you leave an ice block and it scrolls up and that ice block's gone and you're up and you're getting back to that point of the level again, your ice block will still be there. And you have to think really hard about where you place your ice blocks, because you might unintentionally block yourself from continuing to move up and avoid dying. You might accidentally box yourself into an area and you'll lose the level. Or you just have to, lose the level or hit restart. Or hit the rewind button completely on the Nintendo Switch. So the boss fights are also thinkers, and they are active thinking, because you have to continuously make sure you're not screwing yourself over as the screen keeps on scrolling. So there's a bit of that. And then finally, after beating the 9 worlds, once again, you'll get a 10th world, and you can face off against Drudel and try and beat the game. I won't spoil that part of the game. I try not to spoil, especially how to beat the dude. If you want to figure it out, go on YouTube. But I found the final boss battle easy, especially in compared to everything that you've seen before. But regardless, it is a good game. I recommend people play this one. I think the mechanics of the game make sure that it is not a tough game for you or anyone else, either child or adult, to figure out, because really there are only so few controls that you're dealing with here. You got the D-pad to move the dude Dana left and right. You got the B button, which basically creates your ice block, and you got the start button, which will allow you to pause the game. And you could pause. Another thing is, let's say you're trying to have a really good run time. You're trying to beat a level as quickly as possible, just to beat your own record time. You can pause at any point, and it'll pause the timer, and it won't block the screen. You can still see the entire screen. You can sit there and try and figure out how you're going to defeat the level. So that is also a nice little bonus and a nice little thing that they don't penalize you for. They want you to sit down and think about this, how to defeat a level. The developers at Tecmo who made this game, they want you to sit down and think about how to beat these levels, because like I said, some of these levels will have you sitting there for like 10 minutes like, gosh darn diddly darn, I can't figure it out. I don't know what I am supposed to do. And there's also people on Game Facts, Game FAQs, that have created their own walkthroughs as well. There's, at the very least, especially compared to people who played this back in 92, 93, you at least have resources to help you go through the levels. But I don't think this game is so stupidly hard that if you wanted to figure it out on your own without help, that you couldn't be able to do it. I think with enough trial and error and time, you will eventually beat this game without any sort of help. From the way that it has been designed and developed, I think that is entirely possible. Because it's seven. Let's see, I took 6 hours. 6 hours to beat this game. But once again, with help online and Nintendo Switch, so I can rewind my mistakes. People who have played this, on the NES, I got here 6 hours here, so that's around the same time other people emulated, around 12 hours, around 8 hours on the Switch too. So there's people, let's say 7.5 hours average, according to howlongtobeat.com. You want to beat the entire game, meaning the all 150 levels, yes, the extra ones. I've got here about 15.5 hours. So that's what we have here on howlongtobeat.com, and I think that's a fair assessment. I think that's a fair assessment and a fair average as to if you want to, if you really want to do this on your own. So Fire and Ice, prequel to Solomon's Key. Maybe I'll review Solomon's Key next time, just to have the duology. Yeah, I don't think there was a third Solomon's Key developed by Tecmo. Maybe. I don't know. I have to look things up. But good game. Good video game. I also found... let me go back to the presentation. I found the animation, especially for an 8-bit game, to be incredibly pleasing. The Data looks, especially compared to how he looked in the first game in Solomon's Key, he looks fantastic in this one. He animates fantastically. There's a bounce to his step. His hat moves. Things like that. He's got personality in this. He's got a lot of personality. The enemies also have personality. And once again, the enemies vary. There are some that move around that you have to avoid. And there are hazards in this stage with flames. There are, I think, things that light up, like these burning candle lamps or oils that you have to avoid as well, and spikes on the floor in some of the levels. But for the, those are really the majority of things that you will have going up against you. But for the most part, there aren't really enemies chasing after you, so you do have ability to just stand someplace and think about what you're gonna do. Once again, another plus. The developers of this game really took the time and effort to make sure that you can take the time and effort to sit there and think about what you're gonna do in each level. Give you that downtime, because otherwise this would have been a way more frustrating game. But yeah, Dana animates fantastically. The game is nice and bright and colorful, I would say. There's no confusion in the level design as far as visually speaking. You know exactly what's in the forefront, what's in the background, what you can interact with, for sure. The way that the game looks, I akin it to kind of like a Game Boy Color game. I mean, this game would have been fantastic on the Game Boy Color. But, and I mean that as a compliment, because a lot of Game Boy Color games were animated beautifully. Like Shantae. I would say it's on par with like a Shantae, the late era Game Boy Color game. I feel like this late era NES game really, really looks good. And part of that is the reason why I kept playing. It sounds good too. You're listening to music in the background through this review, and it sounds good. And I think that's it. So thanks everybody for listening to this review. You can follow me on pretty much everything. My YouTube channel, my Twitter account, my TikTok. I have my other show, my other podcast/channel, Sports Goofs. I am also sponsored by Epic Games. You go on the Epic Games Store or Fortnite or Rocket League. You type in my creator code, FJOJR. You can help me out just a tiny bit. I've also got Amazon affiliate links for some of the games that I'm reviewing that are still available for purchase online on Amazon. So there's that. So please, if you're ever interested in some of the games that I'm reviewing, you can see if you can purchase it. This one, it's free, or it comes with the Nintendo Online subscription. So there's no real reason for you to avoid it. It's a good game. You'll get a nice weekend of play from it, for sure. Two, three sit-downs. I think that'll be pretty... Maybe a fourth one. That'll be pretty good. Fire and ice. Ciao.